So good afternoon. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to The Power of Story. This is the October 2015 Life Coach Training, Section 2. I'm Bev Barnes. I'm here with you this afternoon for the next 60 minutes, and we're going to go through The Power of Story. So I'm really happy that you guys are here today. This is a great class because I think that it gives you sort of a different perspective on the whole idea of marketing. So now you're getting into, you've been doing a lot of the coaching, learning how to coach, and you're starting to probably think about, okay, what's my business? How do I do this? How do I tell people? What do I do? And that's where this, the power of story comes into play, because a power of story is all about really mining, figuring out, learning, noticing, and mining your own stories, because it is your stories that people connect to. And that's why this is all linked up with marketing, because if you start to think of marketing as sharing your stories with the people who really want to hear your stories and thinking of that as the way that people connect to you, then marketing, for those of you who've never marketed before or haven't thought about it, just becomes sharing and connecting with other human beings. And we connect through our energy. That's how we connect. We connect to other people. And as human beings, we're sort of hardwired for story. So I'll just tell you a little bit about how I discovered that I was a coach. I didn't know that I was a coach initially. It's just my little story of coaching. So since the time that I was very young, I would give my mother advice. Now, I don't know why I would give my mother advice, but somehow I would listen to her. She worked as a nurse. She was a nurse, and she would come home from work every day, and she would come and talk to me for some strange reason. And she would tell me, she would moan and complain about what happened at work. And it was usually about what happened at work with people at work. And, you know, I was, what, 9, 10, 11, those ages. And I would sort of listen to her telling these stories. And at one point, I remember thinking, isn't this interesting? This kind of same story just keeps happening over and over and over again. It can't be that all these people in her life that she's working with are all doing the same thing. So at the ripe old age of something like 11, I said to my mother, you know what? You know what the thing that's in common in all these stories? It's you. And maybe it's something you're doing that is affecting you at work. Have you ever thought of looking at yourself? So she didn't hit me upside my head. She listened to me. She said, you've got a point. And that's when I realized I was a coach. I didn't know what it was. I had no idea that this is kind of like the work that I would be doing for the rest of my life. But when I look back, now I know that I've been doing this forever. And it is not just, you know, giving people advice. It's asking people to take a look at who they are and how they're affecting their own lives. And I've been constantly curious about how people actually, like, how their insides work and how their insides make their outsides. So that has been my constant curiosity. And so I tell that story because that's really talking about me being a coach and why I'm a coach. So I just want to stop there just for a moment because, you know, this is how we're going to do this class. We're sort of going to go through it, tell stories, talk about it, and I'm going to ask you things. What do you learn about me from me telling that story?
Hi, Beth.
Yes, you are insightful. I beg your pardon?
Hi, Beth.
You're insightful. I'm sorry, line's kind of fuzzy. Did you say grateful?
It's insightful.
Oh, insightful. Thank you. Sorry. Okay.
Hi, Bev. I think I hear you say you're a great listener.
Oh?
Yeah. Thanks.
Great listener.
Yeah. And there's somebody else that's speaking?
Yeah, this is Hope. I think it shows that you were very perceptive from a young age and also that you have a skill at inductive reasoning because you heard all those stories over and over and you were able to find the common thread.
Yeah. I always think of it as I picked the right family to learn how to coach because I must have been born to do this. So those are my stories. That's what happens for me. So I asked you those things because I didn't tell you, hey, I'm really insightful. Hire me as your coach. I'm a great listener, and I'm very inductive. I have great inductive reasoning. I could say that if I was going to talk about myself. But in telling a story, what happens is people make their own conclusions. You don't have to tell them. They make their own conclusions. They pick personal meaning out of the story. So that's a story about me because I know my story is better than any other story, but you can do the same thing about you. And so when you start to look at your life and you look at your life as a series of stories and you start to find the stories of your life, you start to be able to do two things. First of all, you start to be able to notice what your greatest skills, abilities, genius, original medicine is. I mean, that's one of the ways that I help people to discover who they are. It's by looking at their stories of when they felt the most pride in a sort of a soul-based pride as opposed to a social self pride. So when you look at those kinds of stories, you start to look at the details and find, oh, there's something that links these stories together. So that's one way of using those stories to find out more about yourself. And then that you use the stories to connect to other people who really relate to what you're saying. So, for example, if you are creating a website and writing about your about page, you tell a story about who you are. You tell your story about who you are because your story is powerful. Your story is unique. Everybody's stories are different. And the story is going to be important for you because of one reason. It's going to be important to somebody for somebody else. And your stories are unique in the sense that you may have experienced the same life experience as somebody else. Like, I don't know if any of you have gone to sort of a high school reunion. I went to a high school reunion last year, and it was after many years, I have to say, like way long. I'm not even going to tell you how many years was in this high school reunion. And so we shared stories about what happened, and what was fascinating was that everybody saw the same experience, or most people saw the same experience, differently. So your stories are unique. They can teach and they can inspire. And what's going to happen is when you start to sort of get to know your stories and start to share your stories, your tribe, the people that are waiting for you, because you do have people that are waiting for you, they're going to find you. So it takes the whole idea, story for me takes the whole idea of connecting with marketing, the business side of your business, it makes it kind of fun because you're starting to look at your stories and it makes it sort of personal because when people hear your stories, they sort of start to trust you. It takes time, but they build a relationship with you based on your stories. And we all want to hear stories. So what we do in this class, we're going to really, you'll see that your stories are original, time to use them, that they build trust, that people are more likely to trust you if they feel that they know you. And that's also what helps you with getting referrals. Your stories help you to connect with others. And they kind of demonstrate your knowledge and command of the subject matter. They can drive home a point, and they also demonstrate what your values are. and how you act on your values. So it's just some of those things that, you know, I just want you to make sure that you know about where stories are concerned. So I think it's one of the most powerful parts of generating referrals for your business, and it's really the heart of who you are and your brand as a business. Because have you guys read Simon Sinek or seen Simon Sinek, who has done a TED Talk? He wrote a book called Start with Why. Anybody know Simon Sinek? Okay, I'll take that as a no, or as I don't.
Are
want
you?
To be, or
are
as
you,
I'm.
How are you saying his last name?
S I N E K.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't know.
Maybe it's my pronunciation. Anyways, so if you haven't, there's a TED Talk, and I can put up the link if you like. And what he says in his TED Talk is, people don't buy what you do; they buy why you do it. And why you do it comes from your stories. So it's that whole idea of why it's important to you, and those are your stories. So that's what we're going to be kind of looking at throughout this class. Now, what you have been asked to do is the VIA signature strengths, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that a little later on, which is super interesting because, anyways, I'll talk about that later because I was just about to explain it all. And on all of this is really just getting aligned. It's like knowing who you are, knowing what's important to you, what you value, getting a sense of the stories in your life, and the stories that the people that you want to connect to will relate to. So I want you to think about Martha Beck and her story. What's Martha's story? Like, what attracted to you? What story about Martha attracted you to this life coach training, if there was one? So if you have something to say, just say your name and then, you know, let me know. Does anybody know a story of Martha's? Can you share a story of Martha's?
I guess I would say her humor, that she does serious things, but you're allowed to be funny about them.
Okay, so do you have a story that you know of Martha's story? What's Martha's story? Mm-hmm. Who is that was talking?
That was Kathleen. I'm not thinking of a particular story that's jumping out.
Okay, but you like her style. It's the humor that you hear in her story.
I do.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what connects you to her. So anybody else have a story? What's the story? What do you know about Martha?
Yeah, this is Marl.
I always do that, two people at once. Who is that? This is who?
This is Hope. And it took me a while to think of what it was, but it was Martha's story about beginning in academia and following a very conventional path.
Yes.
And how she had some stops and starts, and she began studying Chinese and Chinese history and philosophy and found her way to sociology, and from there found her way into life coaching, and from there departed sort of from the strict kind of secular, you know, what's the word that I'm looking for, you know, very by the book, very double-blind study approach, and became a more spiritual person and brought that into her life coaching, because I feel like I've followed a similar path in my own life, so I could relate to that trajectory.
Yep. Yeah, that's cool. And that's one of Martha's stories. She shares a lot of stories. That's one of her stories. And when you really relate to that story, it kind of brings you in. You want to find out more. You want to find out more, and you want to see how you can do that, particularly if that's one of your interests. Thanks, Hope. Was there somebody else who wanted to share a different story that Martha has shared that you could relate to?
This is Tiffany. I have one.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So I have a similar religious background as Martha, where I was involved in the same church that she was and left it.
Yes.
So that's what first drew me in. But then also her connection to finding your essential self and listening to that.
Yes. Love that. So you can see two different stories, part of Martha's journey, and, you know, they sort of bring together the kind of things like, oh, that's interesting. I understand that. I get that. That was also my religion. I'm talking for you, Tiffany. And so that I can see how she made that shift, and I'm interested in that. What about Byron Katie? Anybody know Byron Katie's story? Basically, Byron Katie was incredibly depressed and miserable, and so she has kind of a different story, and I won't go through her whole story, but it's an interesting story, and it sort of helps you to actually start to turn your eyes and ears on to stories and start to see how they relate to coaching. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. Does anybody have a story that comes to mind, your own story that comes to mind about what pushed you to move into coaching? I'd love to hear it. And just say your name first. Nobody has a story that pushed them into coaching that sort of said, wow, I want to get into coaching.
Hi, this is Colette.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I've been a book author for 20-some years, and I interview people as a course, you know, in my work. I also teach workshops where people tell their life stories, and I help them shape those stories. And people have told me many times over the years that I should be a therapist because I never tired of hearing people's stories and helping them come to new conclusions about their lives or their stories, whether it's in a writing workshop or just in conversation. But A, I really don't want to be a therapist, and B, I'm putting a child through college. I have another one on the heels. I can't justify going back to school at this point in my life. But back in last May when my first daughter was about to go to college, she had just chosen her college, and I was in midlife. I turned 50. I had kind of a complete breakdown personally where I felt like everything was falling apart, and I held on to the hope that I would put it back together some other way somehow, and I didn't know how. And it was right in the middle of all of that I met somebody who had done Martha's coaching program. And I'd thought about coaching and research programs in the past, but I felt like they just didn't have the kind of spiritual core that I was looking for. They all seemed very, like, you know, surface level and into making money. But when I started watching Martha's videos, I thought, God, she's kooky, but I like her. She's interesting. She's got a story that I can relate to. And then it just started to come together, and I thought, I really do want to do one-on-one work with creative people and with women who've lost their mothers. I've wanted to do that for a long time, and this is the way to do it.
I love that. What a fabulous story. And what you just talked about is like that whole story of how you got here. And there are ways you can sort of shift it and shape it, and you know that. You've been listening to people's stories for years. It's like your about page on your website, you know, about me. I was a book author for 25 years. I've been listening to people's stories. You know, I love listening to people's stories. That's what I can relate to. And this is my story, and you go through that. And I noticed that I needed a spiritual core, and that's what I help people to find. I love it.
Thank you.
So it's like, it's all there. In your own stories, it's all there. So what happens is people, like, end up, they start looking outside of themselves for, you know, what to talk about, what to coach about, what to write about. But my what I'd like to you to get from this class is that it's all inside of you. You know, you've all had sort of rich lives, and it's time to mine those stories, to find them, to look at them, and to find the significance of them. Because for me, why stories are so important is that I believe that life happens for you. So in your stories are all the things that have happened for you to help you to move to this point and move to the next point. Sometimes when you're in it, when you're in the heart of something that's happening that you would never have chosen, it's no fun. It's no fun. So it's very hard to say, oh, God, life's happening for me at that moment. But when you look back, you can always find that, why it's happening for you, and you can use your own stories. And so there's this, the famous Native American quote is, tell me a fact, I'll listen. Tell me a truth, I'll learn. But tell me a story, and I'll remember. And that it's that story quality that people connect to, especially in, you know, this kind of work is really personal work. It's, you're putting yourself out, even though you know, you might be surrounded by business and has a different center than you do, but you're putting yourself out, what's important to you, the work that you really feel called to do. And when you put that out honestly with your stories, what you're going to be doing is you're kind of like a magnet. You're a magnet attracting the people who relate to you and who need what you do. And marketing is really all about energy. People wanting to be part of what you do, people wanting to connect to your energy, and they connect to your energy through your stories. So there's different kinds of stories. Some of these are outlined in Annette Simmons' book, The Story Factor. And one of these stories is the Who Am I stories and Why I'm Here stories. And we just heard one from, was it, I forget who it was it Hope? I'm not sure. Sorry if I screw up. But we just heard sort of one of these stories. And they, those kinds of stories, they help build trust and help people relate to you. They are sort of an honest description of what you're here to do and what you're here doing. One of the things, you know, the stories that I can contribute to this is one of the first thing that I started doing as I started following really my essential self, my soul's work, was when I started working with people who were making career changes. And I didn't call myself a coach yet, but it was in all, you know, it was in essence, it was coaching. So because it was before, and I did Martha Beck training, and it was before really the coach title was a big thing, or a real thing to me anyways. And one of the reasons that I did this is because I had always, I never knew what I wanted to do, so I was always confused about that. But it wasn't just me. I remember watching my dad go through this struggle. So we were, my family immigrated. My parents are Jamaican. We lived in England. I was born in England. And then they immigrated to Canada when I was about 6 or 7. And so my dad was always looking for work. So his whole thing was to provide for the family. And he had, I remember watching him as he did different kinds of jobs, and he went to school. I mean, he was a student practically his whole life, getting more education and more education. And I remember thinking, he's not doing what he should be doing. I remember thinking it wasn't what the work that he was doing and getting trained to, and because he was doing business and accounting and all that kind of stuff. And I remember thinking, he needs to be doing, he needs to be a teacher. He needs to be teaching history and politics because those were his passions. And I remember watching that and his struggles about work. And I thought to myself, I've got to do something that is really, that really is me. And that set me very much on that path. And so, you know, that's just sort of a story about who am I and why I'm here. It just tells you who the person is and helps you to build trust and sometimes relate to their own stories. And as you see, you know, our stories are all very different, but your stories are valid because they're yours. Then there's the Helen backstory. Martha talks about that, and Martha talks about that for the niche. So the niche, really what you're going to focus on, the focus of your business. And you don't have to have a niche. It just helps you to decide what you're talking about and helps you decide to focus. So what she talks about is the Helen backstory and who you are, how you got here, and why you do what you do. And the important thing about the Helen backstory is the back, getting back from hell, because you don't want to lead people just to hell and not be able to get back from hell. So sometimes you're not – what happens often is the thing that you start coaching about is the thing that you've healed from. So you've healed from – it's a problem that you had. It might be something that is in your life, 10 years ago. So something that 10 years ago was a great struggle that you figured out and it well, and now you know how to get through that and you're still pretty passionate about it. What might happen is that you're actually going through something right now at this moment, and you have a hunch that that's something that you are going to want to coach people about. So what I would say for those people who are not through their hell, that there might be a part of the hell that you're actually through that you can work with people on. It might be something that you don't start with your current dilemma, but inevitably you will get to working through that current dilemma. So I'm curious, anybody have a Helen backstory that where they're back and they feel like that might be something that they want to focus their coaching on?
Hi, this is Electra.
Hi, Electra.
I don't think I have a Helen backstory that would then necessarily focus my coaching at the moment,
mm-hmm.
but I do have a similar story in that I feel like I've been able to recognize, like I'm a mom, had to go mm-hmm. through that. Mom,
yeah.
sending kids to college, redefining myself,
yeah.
trying to figure out what to do.
Yes.
And do it in a way that doesn't become a really struggly, torturous thing. And the
yes.
clients that I have, weirdly enough,
mm-hmm.
that had sort of just arrived on my doorstep, I didn't even ask,
mm-hmm.
are in the same boat. Kind of
yep.
two of them are in the exact same boat and, just sort of blinking their eyes at me like, tell me that this is going to be okay. So I do feel like that is a Helen backstory because I've done a lot of thinking about this over the years. And
yeah.
I've done a lot of thinking about it for myself, not just this year, but other years.
Yeah.
Ago.
Yep.
So it's something I've worked on in myself.
Absolutely. It's something you've worked on. It's something you've gone through. I like to look at it like, the things that it can be Helen back or it could be something that you're really proud of. That you've actually, that you've done, that you're really proud of, that was hard for you, that you didn't think you could do, or it was just a struggle doing it, but you have done it and you're proud of it. That's also something else, you know? And it sounds like that's what you're talking about, that you have brought.
Yeah, I am sort of talking about that. I have.
Yeah.
I have not struggled horribly, but I have done a lot of thinking about it. I've done a lot of mulling over it. Read a lot of literature, I've gone to a lot of classes, and I've thought about, like, really what it's like to be in that position.
Yep. And it sounds like what I hear in your voice is I hear some passion around that. Tell me where I'm wrong.
You know, I'm not even sure. That's the discovery part for me. That's why I can't say it's hell and back. Or fully back. It's just interesting to notice that those are the people that I now, without even asking, who are like little, you know, curious doves on my doorstep. That's who I'm working with right now.
That's kind of cool. And that's what you tend to find. If people will show up, you'll attract those people that you need to be working with. It just kind of happens. It's very bizarre. It's very interesting, and it's very cool. Thanks, you. Thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
There are also the vision stories, and these are sort of giving a meaning to struggles or an inspirational story about something that you thought was hopeless, that you'd give it up on, and that you actually did it. So, I mean, the famous vision stories of Martin Luther King, I have a dream. That's a vision story. I have a dream that one day, you know, that's a vision story. And for me, in my coaching, one of the things I often say is that I have a vision that each of us actually uses our unique genius. And that in the using of our unique genius, the thing that are precious gifts, that what we do is we do what we were born for and we'll change the world. I really believe that. I believe that if everybody was doing that, the world would be a different place. And I don't even believe that it takes 100% of the people doing that. I think it only takes around 20% of the people. So that's like a vision. For me, that's a vision story. And so you want to think about for you, what your ideal world looks like, what your vision is, and you can share those stories. They speak to your big why. And that's where I was talking about Simon Sinek before, with the, you know, people don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it. And you might consider, you know, doing that, finding your own personal visions. So does anybody, so sometimes in the life coaching class and in the cohort and specific group, somebody does have a big vision, a vision of how they see the world. I'd love to find out if there's somebody in the class that does have a big vision that is really inspiring to them.
I do. This is Sarah.
Great. Go ahead,
and,
Sarah.
Funny enough, this actually is a vision I started having really young that I kind of relate to Martha in a lot of ways. But since I was maybe eight or so, I'm one of eight, and I was a highly, highly dysfunctional and abusive home. And I remember that very young age in the midst of the abuse and all in neglect, having the feeling, the thought that, or the dream that I was going to stop the cycle. I was going to be the one in my family.
Mm.
And I have kept that. That stayed so much with me. And I find
is there somebody in a really super noisy place? Or I don't know if that's just the line. Oh, my goodness. It sounds like crashing stuff. If that's you, can you star 6 your line, please? I mean, excuse me. It's 4 star your line, because there's a lot of interference. Sorry, keep going, Sarah. That was really interesting.
Yeah, so every time that there would be something in my life, and it continued for a very, very long time until I was on my own, so out of college, I would always have that thought that I'm going to be the one to make this stop, to make this change, to not continue it, because the rest of my siblings, unfortunately, have. And so I feel very passionate about that, not just for myself, but when I see other people who have that same possibility of making that change. It makes me feel like everything that I endured was completely worth it, because I get to make this change, and then I get to help other people make that change. So
I love it. That's powerful. Well, that's so powerful. The vision of, and it's, I mean, it's the reason why you're doing this work. And as you say it, you know, it feels, totally authentic, like I get goosebumps up my arms, which is my signal for truth. It feels completely authentic, and that's the sense that people get when they hear you talking about your story and your own vision story. It's inspiring. It's the type of story that creates a tribe, people that follow you that want to work with you.
Thank you.
Yeah, you are welcome. Love that. And so then there are other kinds of stories also. There's the I know what you're thinking story. So it's like when you're this is the kind of story so often when you're writing. So a lot of if you're doing, for example, an online business or you're creating programs and creating services, what you are going to be doing is, you know, telling people what the benefits are of the program and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the I know what you're thinking story is one of the things that can help people to really get that you know where they're coming from. So it's like you're addressing their objections in your story, in the story of a program, for example. And so often you are going to say things like, if you believe that you should be working, let's say you're offering a group program and you're thinking that people are going to say, well, I'd rather work one-on-one. You can tell them that, I know you're thinking that you're going to do this better in a one-on-one program, but I'm here to tell you that you're going to get actually a lot more of this out of this in a group program for these reasons. So it's that kind of thing. I know what you're thinking stories. You can also, when you're, if you start to write or do videos or any kinds of communication connection with the people that need you, which is what marketing really is, when you start to write blog posts, for example, what I love most of all is when somebody says to me, gee, you're reading my mind. When I get an email response from a blog post and somebody says, you really read my mind, I'm like, oh, I'm really thinking about what they really need. And as a life coach, as you're talking to people and you kind of get a sense of what's going on and what people have trouble with and the kinds of explanations they need and the kind of information they need, the more you work with people, the more you're going to know, oh, they need to know this. And that's when people start to say, I think you're reading my mind. So those kinds of stories help to enhance your own credibility and also help people to recognize you really get me. You know, it's like some people often say that, new coaches, they'll say that, well, I don't have all this experience. I'll just take an example of somebody who decides that their field of passion is weight loss. Let's say, you know, they decide, hey, I want to be a weight loss coach, and they say, I don't have, you know, that much experience doing this. I haven't taken this training, that training, or whatever. I haven't been doing this for 50 years. But truth of the matter is, if you've gone through the experience and you know what you've done, that to me is much more important than any other training that you've had. And so you'll be able to talk to people from their point of view. Make sense? I hope so. Another kind of story is a teaching story. So there's stories that you help people to make sense of a new skill and teach them. Does anybody have a teaching story that they've used in anything? You know, I'm sure that there are people here that have taught. Teaching story, anybody?
Sure,
I can share one with you. Yes. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, when I teach writing workshops and people are telling their life stories, they are often just laying the story down in a first draft and telling it in a very episodic fashion, like this happened and that happened and then this led to this and then that, the next thing happened. And it's actually kind of a jerky and boring read.
Yes.
And so I teach them how to interweave the storytelling with reflection and analysis and when to stop the story and muse on what just happened or explain their motivations.
And I tell them the story about how the right brain and the left brain work differently, and we go in a little bit of neuroscience to understand what their strengths are. And then I give them examples from texts where I show them, usually I use Joan Didion because she does it so skillfully, show them how writers go in and out of the storytelling, and they give them an exercise where they can try it themselves and then encourage them to go back and do it on a vision. And I tell them stories from my own writing. I read passages from my books, and I explain how I knew that that was a place where I needed to stop and insert some reflection, and I explain why I did it, and we read the passage, and we talk about how it read before, and real examples, I guess, when I'm teaching them. But I do tell them the story of a specific passage in one of my books, why I chose to pause the narrative and get into a passage of reflection. And from that, when I'm doing that and I start crying in front of the computer, then I know I'm getting to something real. So they shouldn't be afraid. They shouldn't be afraid of getting emotional over their own work, because it means they're getting to the deep stuff, and that's the stuff that's going to help people connect to their stories.
That's very, really cool. Thank you so much. There's a little bit of a connection. I don't know if it was me or as you were kind of in and out, but I got most of the gist of that, and thank you for sharing that. You can also, you know, those teaching stories, I use a teaching story. I've used a teaching story in just explaining to people things like, you know, your thoughts, how your thoughts affect what you do. And I often think back to when I took driver's ed when I was 16 years old, and I took it with a friend of mine. And she said, oh, I'm a terrible driver. I hate this. I'm a terrible driver. And I said, oh, I'm a great driver. It's wonderful. So we both did driver's ed. And after driver's ed, we both got, you know, the test from the driving instructor. And we got exactly the same mark on the test. And my perspective was, I was a great driver, and her perspective was, and this is at 16 years old, that she was a terrible driver. And she had this perspective also because her mother was a terrible driver and felt she was a terrible driver. So my friend Anne never drove for, you know, years. She did not drive. And I, because I believed that I was a great driver, I drove everywhere and have driven, you know, a ton everywhere, all over the world and all that stuff. And all of that, to me, is really the whole notion of having a belief and how that belief affects how you feel and how you feel affects what you do. And that's what a teaching story is. It's a story that really teaches you about, you know, it provides an analogy of something that you're learning. So you might notice that in many different ways. That's another kind of story. And then there's the values in action stories. And this is talking about your values and helping people to think for themselves. And they're kind of really, really important stories. And what you did in the values in actions, the value survey, VIA, I always forget what it's called, is that you took a look at your most important values. And what was significant about that is that they're really based on Martin Seligman's positive psychology. And the whole basis of this is that the more that you use those, your signature strengths, the happier you will be. So it's like you want to line up your signature strengths in your stories. You want to find those stories that really demonstrate those signature strengths, because it's speaking to the how you do things. And how you do things is often speaking to your original medicine. Your original medicine is more about how you do things than what you do. It's more about the energy that you bring to the thing than the thing that you are doing. So that's what's significant about the strengths, the character strengths that you used. You can, with those character strengths, you can put together sort of a manifesto on what you believe. And that's actually one of the one of the exercises that you can do for homework is to really to start to set a timer and for, you know, 5 minutes. Let's even say just 5 minutes. I like longer, 15 minutes. And write, I believe. And just start writing. And what will happen is you start writing what you believe, or I have learned, or I know that. And you start writing and using, as you start writing, what you become aware of is what your beliefs are. And that can be sort of on your website, that could be a manifesto, that can be something that you can use in your materials. Make sense? Yeah, cool. So you know what? I'd love to do this little exercise with you where we're going to – it's called it's kind of like a visualization. So it's a visualization, and it's really – I like to call it messages from the crypt. Messages from the crypt. So it's kind of like the kinds of things that you think are important. So I'll just leave it at that. I'll do a little grounding. We'll go into this exercise, and we'll see what comes up for you. And I'll give you just a minute or two to write a few things down. So close your eyes and take a deep belly breath. And if you're in a place where you can't close your eyes, just keep your eyes open in a soft focus. Or if you're not comfortable, keep your eyes open in a soft focus. Take a deep belly breath. Breathe in as your belly rises. Breathe out and your belly falls. And feel yourself coming into your body and starting to relax. And keep taking those deep belly breaths. It's a great way of getting into your body. Now put your attention on your feet. You might feel the tingling or heat in your feet. And imagine that two wonderful roots come out of the bottom of your feet. They're your grounding cords. And with the force of gravity, those two roots, they go down through the grass, through the earth, through the rocks. And these two grounding cords go down deep into the center of the earth. And they keep you safe, grounded. Just enjoy the sensation of being grounded and connected to the earth. And move up through your body. Just notice your feet and your knees, hips, up through your chest. And I want you to imagine that it is your last day on earth. And you are surrounded by your friends and your family. And all the people that you love. And in fact, that day feels like a celebration. You've done something that you really, really knew was important for your soul to do. And your family is celebrating because of that. And so are you. Notice what that is. What is that thing that you know you must do that you've already done? And it's okay if nothing comes to you. But just notice that maybe something does. Now let that go. No, you can go back there anytime you want to. And focus once more on your breathing. And notice your body as you're sitting in the chair. And when you're ready, open your eyes. And you might just want to write down a note about what you noticed, the thing that you were most proud of, that you wanted to achieve, that you did. So I'm curious, and you may not have gotten anything. There are many different ways to do this exercise. There's ways to look at it as what you didn't achieve, that you would regret not doing. There are ways to look at it. I just decided, on the spur of the moment, to do this exercise by looking at something you did do that you were proud of. And so I'm wondering, would anybody like to share what message they got from the crypt?
Hi.
What did you know? Yeah, go ahead.
I could see myself, I was probably in my 80s, I guess, and I could see my family and kids that I don't have yet. And then I saw, asked that question about what I did with my life. I could feel, and I just started crying, I could see all of these people happy. And that their lives were changed, and with families. And I could see like a family tree for each of them, that it was going to continue for generations. Mm. And it felt so amazing.
That is so cool.
Yeah, it was amazing. So beautiful.
That is so cool. There's something in there. You know, you never can sort of figure out what that is, but there's some message in there about something that you believe.
Mm-hmm.
And so it will be fun for you to just to play with that image and notice what it is that you believe about life. So there's something you believe about people being happy and connected to one another. Tell me where I'm wrong.
No, that's absolutely, and that's been part of my story.
Yeah.
Absolutely true.
Yeah. So there's a core. So in all of this, it's like there's a core message that comes through in these stories, and a core message that becomes what you speak about and share with the people who need you. And who want to work with you. And so I truly believe that this stuff comes, you know, when we're looking at business this way, we're looking at sort of being super authentic and being who we really are. So it comes from you, and it comes from something deep inside of you. Thanks so much for sharing that. That was really, really cool. Anybody else get something that they want to share with us? Or that we're surprised about. All right. And that's those are some things to sort of look at. So what I'm going to ask you to do after class is to note down, you know, do the exercise where you're really looking at completing I believe. And so give yourself some time with a pen and a paper and really starting I believe and writing that down. And on the, for homework, I mean, this is optional homework. It would be fun to see that you post what you believe on the forum. So just the most 10 statements that you post what you believe. It's a great way to get started on this, to get started on, you know, what you're all about, because you're getting super, super clear on what you're all about. Another way to think about this is to think about that you're, you know, you're at an Oprah event, And Oprah pulls you aside and says, okay, you've got the stage. You've got the stage for the next 10 minutes. And we have 1,000 people here that are exactly the people that you are inspired to work with. What is the one thing that you would tell them that you most want them to know? And that's when you're starting to, that's the kind of thing when you're starting to get a sense of exactly what it is that you really, what your message is, what you really want people to do. Does that make sense to everybody?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm curious, what are your questions about this, or about the power of story? I'd love to find out from you. Questions or insights around this area? How are you feeling about getting started with the homework in this class?
Deb, I have a question.
Sure.
This is Tiffany again. And I actually asked Abigail this at the meet and greet, but I'd just like to get your take on it.
Yeah.
So my story is I used to have Crohn's disease, and I don't have it anymore.
Okay.
And I then became a health coach and a massage therapist. And so I've tried working with people that have Crohn's disease, and I actually take on their symptoms. So
okay.
I start having symptoms again. I'm wondering, you know, how to separate that so that I don't, because Crohn's disease would be my obvious niche.
Okay, well, so here's the question. When you imagine working with people with Crohn's disease, and you have also in the past, how does that feel in your body?
It makes me very anxious.
And say more about the anxiousness, the anxiousness, what's happening. Where do you feel that in your body when you're imagining?
I feel it in my stomach.
Your stomach. Can you just sort of describe the sensations that you feel in your stomach?
Almost like everything, like all the molecules and atoms in there are like amped up.
Yep. Does that feel like more shackles on or shackles off to you?
I don't know.
when you have the molecules amped up in your stomach, is that your body saying yes or no for you? Like, what are your signals for getting warmer and getting colder?
My first instinct would tell me that the shackles on.
Yeah, it's interesting because when you talked about this, when you just said I take on their symptoms, and it's an obvious niche for me. I was like, is that true? So I would, the whole idea of Crohn's disease is an obvious niche for me. Is that true? Is that true that Crohn's disease is an obvious niche?
It doesn't have to be, you know.
What do you think of the biggest thing that you learned from having Crohn's disease was?
From having it or from recovering from it?
From recovering from it.
What did I learn from it?
You personally, yeah.
That I can do hard things.
That you can do hard things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so recovering from Crohn's disease, and just tell me where I'm wrong, is something that you need to do. Is that what you're saying?
In the beginning, I didn't think I could, but then at a certain point, I was like, I knew that I would be able to heal myself.
I could heal myself. Okay.
Yeah.
So is it the healing yourself that was most important, or and so just bear with me here, or figuring out how to do something that you didn't know how to do.
It was the figuring out how to do something.
Yeah. That was my hunch. And my hunch, that was my hunch because my sense is sometimes you think that the obvious niche is the thing when it's what you learned from the thing that's the niche, that's the thing. And so this whole idea of, for you, it's like to follow in your body. Like what is figuring out how to do something, to get through something, what lights you up about that? What kinds of things light you up about helping people to figure out things that they didn't know how to get through? Because the niche to me is like, it has to be something that lights you up. What we need is more people that are lit up by the thing as opposed to feeling like this is my purpose, I have to do this because I did it. No, not necessarily. People have gone through difficult things. You might decide, no, I don't want to work through that. You know, I don't want to necessarily work through relationships if I've gone through a difficult relationship and come out on the other side. No, that's not necessarily something that I do want to spend all my time working with. You know, it might be something, it could be something else. So, but I think that there is something in the essence of that that is what you'd like to help people with. Does that, any of that resonate for you?
Yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's my take on that. Sometimes it's the actual thing but many times it's not. And one of the reasons I say that is because, you know, what I always think is one of the biggest things I ever did was actually figured out what I wanted to do in terms of work. And so I sort of thought that okay, I was the natural sort of niche was like I was going to work with people with their careers. And I did that for quite a while, but I got kind of bored with it. And it wasn't really career, wasn't the real issue. The issue was having people follow their soul's desires as opposed to their ego-based desires. And it didn't really have that much to do with careers, though it could. So those are the sort of the things to think about.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tiffany. You're welcome. So we're sort of at the end of our time, and so, yes, you do have some, you know, the homework that I mentioned. I'd like to find out what your insights are or takeaways from this call.
Hi, this is Kristen.
Yeah, hi, Kristen.
I had a pretty interesting takeaway from the whole concept of how important it is to include our personal story in the
mm-hmm.
marketing piece of it, because I think there's a big cultural, you know, wrong story about how telling your own story it can be self-aggrandizing or narcissistic and talking about yourself.
Yes.
And also that it makes it puts the emphasis not on the client and on you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this class or this way of looking at it really helped open up the idea that it validates people's need to hear your story, and that is what makes you the vehicle, the necessary vehicle or the connector between the bridge between where they are and where they want to be. So
yeah.
I like that concept, and then it also tied into my own story that was coming up for me as you were talking here, and some of the, I don't know if this is a teaching or a values one, but my area that I came to gravitating towards is personal truth, which
yeah.
is really integrity, and been through those integrity cleanses a couple times now.
Yes.
And so what I'm starting to do is coach or practice coach, or at least for myself definitely and for others, the differences between conscious, authentic choices and programmed reactions, choices that are programmed reactions, and being
yep.
able to identify those. And I realized that what I just said or what my observation was a real good illustration of that, because it's other people's ideas of what story, you know, this idea of telling your own
yes.
story. The programmer
yeah.
telling me that, you know, it wasn't, I don't even know if it was that personal to me, but it's just one of the observations I have about society and culture is that, you know, our programming tells us that we shouldn't make it about ourselves. And then my authentic thing is like, well, how can anybody reach me or be able to be, how can I be available to anybody if I don't connect them in this way? So that was an interesting.
Absolutely. I love that. Thank you, Kristen. And that really is it. Like, we are hardwired for story. We're hardwired for story. And the great thing about story is people make their own meaning out of that story. So you don't have to be telling them, you do this, do that, do this. They will get their own meaning, and they will go in the direction they need to. Thanks, Kristen. Anybody else have a takeaway that they want to share? All right. So thank you so much for, you know, being there, sticking with us through this class. I think it's really fun to start looking at your stories, to start seeing what's important to you, your own values, the stories, your Helen Back stories, the stories of the things that you're most proud of. You start to personalize your business, and you start deciding which stories you're going to tell. You don't have to tell all your stories, but you can decide to tell the stories you want to. And as you start, you know, when you start out telling stories, sometimes you, when I first started out, I didn't really tell very many stories, and then I realized, like, people didn't know anything about me. And so I tell more stories. Now you have to shut me up to stop telling my stories. It's kind of fun to tell your stories and to start relating to them. And it helps in your teaching. It helps in your coaching. And it helps in your writing and connecting with people. So start finding your stories. If you can complete as homework your I believe statements, and you can just put them up on the forum. It'd be great to share and to start this process. And if you have questions, do post them on the forum, and I'd love to answer them. So thanks, everybody, for being here today, and happy stories, everyone, and I'll see you again. Take care, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks, Beth.
You're welcome. Bye, everybody.